The Flaming joins us. Flamer, are you a Star Wars fan?
I am. And speaking of visuals you don't want, I'm wearing baggy shorts for the same reason. Majo's got the sweatpants on.
Oh, well, that's even more awkward. So
there you go.
I like that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Talk a few of the prospects. It's funny. I'm not even making this up. I've had 5 or 6 different tweets, a few different text messages, people saying, Gregor, did the Oilers make a mistake drafting Draisaitl over Bennett because Sam Bennett played one playoff game suddenly? I can understand people being worried, but hey, Leon Draisaitl's last NHL playoff game was his best. And he's also right now lighting it up for Cologne in the WHL playoffs.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was the mistake to draft Leon Draisaitl. I think he was the right guy. The mistake the Oilers made was not putting him back in the WHL to start the year. And I think we've all talked about that on our station. The fact that he's doing what he's doing now is a positive. That's what he should have been doing all season long. And, you expect a guy his age, his size, with his experience to be lighting up the WHL, and he's playing like a man possessed for the Rockets right now. So, I mean, everything is great for Draisaitl. It just should have been this way all season long instead of the first half of the games over his head in the NHL.
Yeah, it was never his fault. And
right.
A guy who's very young, clearly will improve. And is improving. And that Kelowna team, I know Victoria Greg Chase order draft pick scored the overtime winner to stave off elimination last night, but is it just delaying the inevitable?
No, I would think so. Kelowna's been dominant at home, and game 5 coming up tomorrow night in Kelowna. So I don't think anybody expects Victoria to come back and to win 4 straight against Kelowna. So, yeah, probably delaying the inevitable, but give the Royals some credit coming back from a 4-2 third period deficit to put it into overtime and then to score in overtime and had to kill off a penalty in overtime as well yesterday. Brandon McGee taking a goaltender interference call. But, I think you're right, Jason, that eventually and probably tomorrow we see Kelowna put this series away.
Are you a little surprised the Hitmen are up on the Tigers 3-1?
No, that's the team I picked. Actually, that's my Eastern Conference champ prediction, the Calgary Hitmen. And they did it yesterday without Adam Tambellini, who's been as good as Leon Draisaitl has been here down the stretch and into the playoffs. He's been really strong for the Hitmen and wasn't in the lineup yesterday, undisclosed injury. So not sure how long he's going to be out or if he's going to be good to go for Game 5 in that series tomorrow night. But no, I picked Calgary to win the series, and I picked them to beat Brandon in the next round. And right now, Brandon's got their hands full.
And Brandon, they're up 3-1, right, over Regina, which, look, kind of delay that, which could be a pretty good final, Brandon taking on Calgary.
Yep, I think so. And yesterday, that game between Brandon and Regina went to overtime as well. So that nearly could have been a 2-2 series. Now that it's 3-1, I mean, that's a huge swing in momentum and just a pivotal game in the series. I don't think Regina's going to win 3 straight against Brandon, so you have to think the Wheat Kings probably finish it off in the next game or two. The next one's at home, so I think Brandon gets by Regina in 5. And then it would set up what I think will be a really nice and exciting series between Brandon and the Calgary Hitmen. Should be lots of offense. I think probably put the over-under on goals at 6 in that for each game in that series. I think there'll be a lot of goals.
Guy Flaming from the Pipeline Show joining us, talking a little CHL playoffs. One series that Oilers fans will be interested in for a variety of reasons. Still holding out hope maybe for the draft lottery. And just because, of course, Connor McDavid. And, of course, you've got Dylan Strome. And they're taking on Darnell Nurse, Erie, and Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah, it starts still a week from now because they're waiting for the other series to finish. But yeah, Sault Ste. Marie and Erie, you could argue they're the two best teams in the Ontario Hockey League. I think Oshawa has something to say about that. But Connor McDavid missed so much time this year, it probably hurt them in the standings a little bit. But that should be an epic matchup between two really powerful teams. I think most people are picking the Sioux Greyhounds to win. But when you've got the best player in junior hockey, who knows what can happen? And he's going to be raising his level of play to match the Greyhounds. And that should be an epic match that starts a week today.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Like, I understand the other series are going on, but that's a real long wait in between games.
It is, and I'm assuming it's just they have to do that because if the other series goes 7 games, you have to give them enough time to start the Eastern Conference Final at the same time as the Western Conference Final so that the OHL Final overall can take place at a natural pace. So you know, you're going to have a big gap somewhere along the way. Might as well do it after the second round, I suppose.
Guy, when you look at that Erie-Sault Ste. Marie matchup, if the Greyhounds are going to win, how do they go about it? How do you beat them?
Well, I think they have enough firepower. It could come down to goaltending as well, but I think the Greyhounds probably have the edge in net mining. But that could be a high-powered offensive season, a series. That we talked about Brandon and Calgary might be an over-under of 6 goals. It could be the same in that series. Both teams could put up a lot of points. So I think it's going to be a slugfest. And if one team can actually shut down the other team offensively, I mean, that's probably silly to say, but you know, that's going to go a long way. I just think both teams have so much firepower up front that it's going to be who can score the most, almost you know, last man standing when it comes to maybe last goal wins it.
The draft lottery goes on Saturday.
Yeah.
Who are you picking to win the lottery?
Let's see. You know, the odds are really against Buffalo getting it, but they have the best odds of any team, but still only, what, 20% chance that they'll actually be picking number one, so 80% that it won't be Buffalo. So it's hard to say that the number one team is going to get it. I don't know. I'll just throw a dart. I'll say who's picking fourth. I'll go with the fourth place team.
That's the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Well, you would, the conspiracy theorists would be out in full
no
force.
Kidding.
If indeed that did occur, it'll happen Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of studying and reading on the history of the lottery. Now, I know from a purely statistical vantage point that the previous ones have nothing to do with it. It's, you know, the odds are what they are and what happened in previous years. But it is funny to look and see, you know, like the top two teams have won 10 of the 19 lotteries. Right. So they've had the best odds. They've won over 50% of them.
Yeah.
So,
that's reason.
You know, if you're in Arizona, now I know that the stats have changed because those two spots used to have a 43% chance of winning combined. Now it's down to 33. Right. So there is that difference in there. And who knows? But man, if the Edmonton Oilers would win the lottery, I'm not even sure what the fan base would do. I think many would be beside themselves excited, and some would be like, yeah, okay, great. So we get Connor McDavid. That doesn't give us a goaltender, and it doesn't improve our defense.
Well, can you imagine the reaction from the rest of the league if the Oilers had the number one pick again? I mean, the rest of the league hates the Oilers enough because of that the last few years. Imagine what it would be this year. I don't know. Maybe this is the year we see, like, the ninth place team win the lottery or something just because of the way they've changed the odds. And who knows, maybe that would influence people not to tank.
Well, you know what's funny about that is Colorado has the number 10 team, and they have a 3.5% chance of winning. The lowest seed to ever have won was number 8 twice when they had, at those time, the odds were 3.6. So if you're looking at that number and feel that it's lucky, and, you know, I know guys when they go and you're playing roulette or what have you, sometimes you're like, hey, you know what? This slot's won before in the past.
Yeah.
I'm going to take them. But I'm telling you, the team to me, of all the teams that are out, The Dallas Stars would if they get Connor McDavid with Ben, who I think is an unbelievable player, and Tyler Seguin, man, they are legit. Of course, the Los Angeles Kings, you know, the Boston Bruins. I honestly don't believe they're as dangerous as those two teams. But I'm telling you, if the Dallas Stars could win the lottery, my goodness, they would be a juggernaut.
Well, I think Columbus as well.
Yeah, that's the other team. Yeah, good call.
They are where they are because of injuries. But,
yeah.
I mean, if they got somebody like that, an impact player, I mean, they'd be off to the races.
Oh, yeah, because like a real proven superstar young player like that, it would be amazing. Now, I know you were a big fan of Trouba a few years ago in the draft.
Yeah.
Who's your defenseman that you like the most in this draft?
It's really tough to say. I think we talked about this fairly recently, but you know, I like the way what I saw from Ivan Provorov during the series against the Oil Kings. But you know, with Noah Hanifin and Zach Werenski right there as well, and they're all three different players, I'd probably still lean toward Noah Hanifin, but I don't like him as much as I did Trouba in his draft here. I think all three are going to be very, very good defensemen, though. But the one I've seen with my own eyes and really liked the way he played was Ivan Provorov.
Yeah, hi. I'm a huge fan of his, too.
Yeah.
If you had between him or Strom, I know the complete different positions. Who would you take?
I'd probably still go with Strom. You look at the numbers that he's put up this year and not playing with Connor David on the same Connor McDavid's on the same team but not on the same line. I'm sure they play a little on the power play together. But I'd probably still go with Dylan Strome.
It's funny because there are some people, it's at times misinformation. There's still people who believe, this many years later, that Mark Pouliot was drafted because he played with Sidney Crosby. Crosby wasn't even on the team when Pouliot got drafted. And people will say, oh, Strome's not that good. It's because he was playing with Connor McDavid. Well, McDavid missed close to 30 games, I think it was, due to injury in the World Juniors. And Dylan Strome's is a pretty dynamic player. What do you feel are his best attributes?
His size, and I think his skating is decent, but I think it's his hands and his size. He's not a power forward per se, but he's a tough guy to knock off the puck, and he's got a long reach. And I think all of those things, he's just got a nose for the net. So, he's a scorer. He's an offensive forward who has size. I think what's not to like about that? And I don't think skating is a detriment by any means, so... I don't know. There's lots to like about Dylan Strome, and you see what his older brother's doing with the Islanders, and I think they're cut from similar cloth.
Who is your favorite player ranked after number 15, and why?
Matt Barzal is still. I mean, he's ranked number 11, but I've seen on lists where he's in that 15 to 20 range. But for me, Matt Barzal with the Seattle Thunderbirds is the guy that I really like. As an offensive forward, a lot of speed, and his hands and his mind keep up with his feet. There's another guy named Kyle Connor, I think, is similar, plays in the USHL with the Youngstown Phantoms, who is a little bit taller than Matt Barzal. I think they're about the same weight, though. But he led the USHL in scoring this year, and I think he's one to watch for as well.
Guy, always good to catch up with you, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the CHL playoffs.
Will do, Jason. Thanks for this.